Here we go, guys.
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Edge Portal. Hope you all had some happy holidays. We have Larry Taylor, Augusto Perez, and Daniel Holdings, and we're going to have a grand conversation tonight about portals. Welcome to the show, guys.
Well, thank you, Dorothy.
Go ahead. I got in a little late, so if Daniel and Augusto want to take off and go with what they was doing, go ahead.
Oh, well, Larry, we were just chit-chatting, but, you know, I guess I'll start. You know, it was about, I guess, I don't know when I talked to you on the phone. I think it was like the 19th or 20th. It was before the 21st, December 21st, and you know, the Lord had been making some connections in my heart and in my mind, and, you know, I really felt led to call you, and we ended up having a really long, detailed conversation about not only portals that are opening up in the physical realm where we live, but also you brought out a wonderful direct connection to the war in the heavenlies, and we ended up speaking about that for a while, and we agreed that it would be probably a good conversation to actually have on the radio and bring Larry into it. You remember that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you know, again, it's good to be with you guys on the program. You know, probably the last program we'll do before 2013. So, you know, 2012 is come and gone, it seems like. But everything is continuing to deteriorate at such a fast rate. But I believe that this topic that we're going to be touching on tonight has everything to do with the end times. The Bible is full of words that are used describing portals, doorways, and gates. And, you know, Jesus mentioned it, you know, the most memorable one probably is when he spoke standing in front of the, you know, of the gates of hell. And he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And that was one of the most prominent gates, gateways right there back in those days. People, you know, it wasn't a cave. By the way, it was in front of a cave. And the people used to go there. You know, they built like a little, you know, like a building in front of the entrance of the cave. And the people would go there, you know, and leave offerings of fruit and food and different things for Baal. And Baal, of course, is the demon of demons. I mean, that's Baal is it, there are many names for Baal, and I mean, if you go to Cuba, it has a different name than if you go to Japan or if you go to Russia, if you go to the Middle East. But it's the same devil. It's Baal, and there was a temple to Baal there, and that temple was a gateway, according to, you know, what Yeshua said. He says, the gates of hell. And he said, this is one of the gates of hell. So we take it from then that there are many gates and many gateways. So I'm looking forward to what we're going to be sharing tonight.
And of course, Larry, you have practical experience because you live right smack next to a couple portals. And you can attest to the fact that those portals or those gates are, in fact, opening, can't you?
Oh, absolutely. You know, they're not open continually, but they are, you know, at certain times or seasons, so to speak, they're active. And, you know, one of the things Augusto said, that the gates of hell would not prevail. Now, that word was simply not, I repeat, not that they wouldn't try to prevail. He didn't say they wouldn't try or there wouldn't
right,
be an attempt
right.
to prevail. That means that those gates of hell are going to be used and used against the kingdom of God and his people. And, well, that's one of the things that you can take a sledgehammer and you can't bang that into most Christians' heads, but I hope y'all didn't have imagery of that. But anyway, you know, you do the best you can. It's just simply people don't choose to believe. And, you know, we're not talking bizarre. I mean, we're really not talking bizarre. I know people think it sounds that way. But this is everyday stuff on planet Earth. and in our space-time, and yet it's a subject that very few will broach and very few will talk about.
Gates and gateways, I think, is one of the most important things that we need to address in these end times. If we look throughout the scriptures, okay, we can look throughout the scriptures, and we see that the Bible mentions gates, gateways, and doors. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, they had, you know, the gatekeepers, because the gatekeeper or the watchman, what the, you know, the watchman is, stands on the gate, and he looks to see what is coming through the gate or what was going to come through the gateways into the city. And so they were the gatekeepers. They made sure that there was no one that, that was a killer or was an enemy or so forth that would make its way through the gateway into the city. So they were the gatekeepers. And the gateways, therefore, are places that are strategically important for the body of Christ. For example, the cities have gateways. Every city has a gateway, an entrance, okay? There are entrances. There are gateways into a home, into a house. And you bolt those doorways, right? When you leave the house, when you go out, you put a bolt in it, you lock it, make sure that no one can get in. Because gateways are very important. The gateways, the windows and the doors, like to a house, the gateways of a city, like right now, look what's happening in the southern border with the United States. Well, the border is virtually non-existent. Therefore, the drug dealers, the murderers, the rapists, and all these gangs and gangsters are pouring right through the border because there's no gatekeepers there. There's nobody standing watch at the gates, at the entrance. And so this is what's going on, and this thing can be applied into the spiritual realm as well. There are gateways in the spirit, and things are about, or they probably already started to come through the gateways, and the people of God need to know about it and how to protect themselves.
Well, and, you know, Augusta, you took the words right out of my mouth. This is one area where the church does not deal with. And I don't know, Larry, if they think it's science fiction or whatever the case may be, but you're absolutely right, Augusto. This is the entrance, let me put it simplistically, the entrance by which things come and things go, not only in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm as well. And as we're talking about the end of 2012, we just got done with December 21st, moving through 2013. Many of the listeners would know the kind of things that many watchmen are talking about for the new year, none of them good, by the way. We can see that something has changed in our dimension. We can see that something has changed in our atmosphere. And many times, you know, we look at things with natural eyes. We look at things with earthly eyes. You know, there's this whole talk about the fiscal cliff and the monetary system. There's the talk about the gun activity I was talking to Dorothy offline about the Sandy Hook issue and the Aurora issue and the evil that these crazy gunmen. We were talking, Augusto and I were talking about the use of drugs and that sort of thing. So we look at things through our natural eyes, and we tend to look only one-dimensionally, if I can use it that way. But what we are seeing at the close of this year is a myriad of problems. But in the spirit, I believe that all those things are connected together, and I believe it is because the gates or the portals are opening. So what does that mean to the people of Earth, us human beings that live here, and what can we expect to see happening in the heavenlies with those gateways opening? And I think that's probably the focus that we're going to be looking at this evening. So If I may, Augusto, you know, you just got done mentioning Matthew 16:18, and mm-hmm. and that's where Jesus says, "And I say to you that you are Peter," because he asked him, "Who do you think I am?" And Peter just told him, "Well, you're the Christ." And
right.
and so Jesus says to him, "And I say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates." And that's they were standing right where you said they were standing, Augusto, of Hades shall not prevail against it. Now, that word gates is pilei, which is Strong's number 4439, and it literally means a leaf or a wing or a folding entrance. And here's the thing about a dimensional gate. It's not, Larry said it, it's not open all the time. It folds open and it closes. It folds closed. It's how it operates. So with that, Augusto, do you think that there was any significance to December 21st? What was the significance of December 21st?
Well, okay. Like everybody speculated, nothing happened in the natural as far as that is concerned, okay? And I don't think the Mayans ever said that something was going to transpire in the natural. I believe what they were talking about was the movement of our solar system, the Milky Way galaxy, okay, through the galactic center. Now, whatever that may entail, okay, we can get on to that topic if you want a little later, but that was the main issue of the Mayan calendar. It was a calendar designed to determine when the galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, would make its way. You know, that it only does that every 26,000 years, actually every 13,000 years or so, because it goes, you know, it goes like a sine wave up and down, up and down. And so it's making its way now from the up to the down, okay? So before December 21st, 2012, we were above the galactic, center. After December 21st, 2012, we are actually crossing and we are going to be under. We're going to be looking at it from the bottom up, whereas to before we were looking at it from the top down. So things are just that. Things have changed, okay, just because of that. The other thing is that as every time this happens, okay, every time that our galaxy goes passes through the galactic center, like it just did, okay, there have been always consequences. I was doing some research into this, and one of the things that I found out was that the physicists, probably from about a dozen research institutions, including the New York University, they discovered a high-energy gamma rays that are being emitted from the Milky Way galaxy, okay, from the center of the Milky Way galaxy. And they said that these are the highest energies, photons, ever detected from the galactic equator. So they published this their findings in the December 16 issue. I think it was back in the year 2000 to 2003, in the issue of Physical Review Letters. If somebody wants to read it, that's where you go. At any rate, this measurements were, you know, determined using the Milagro Gamma Ray Observatory, which is a new detector located near Los Alamos, New Mexico, that allows the monitoring of the northern sky 24/7. Now, gamma rays are considered by scientists to be the best probe of cosmic rays outside our solar system. So that's how they detect this ray. This thing is coming at us at such a high rate now that the scientists from this observatory, they detected, according to this document, a signal along the galactic equator region and interpreted it as rising from gamma rays with a median energy of 3.5 trillion electron volts. That is 3,500 times the mass energy of a proton. okay? That is a lot. And this is started to intensify coming from the center of the Milky Way. So something is going on. It's intensifying. It's heating our sun. It's affecting our sun. Our sun is heating up. This plasmatic, I think it's called plasmatic electromagnetic connection, is intensifying between the planets, is causing extreme weather, storms, higher volcanic activity, earthquakes, just like Jesus mentioned that it was going to be at the end of the age. Another thing that happened December 21st, 2012, was the end of the age. We passed from the age of Pisces, okay, to the age of Aquarius. So now we have entered into a new age just like it was prophesied. And that is another thing that the Mayan calendar, it's a point of demarcation as a change of the age. Now, Jesus was asked when many of these things were going to happen. His disciples came to him in Matthew 24, in Luke 21, in Mark 13. And he told them, he said, these things are going to happen. There's going to be a tremendous increase in earthquakes. There's going to be a tremendous increase in unrest on the planet. There's going to be wars everywhere, rumors of war. There's going to be signs in the heavens. There's going to be all these things taking place. And then they asked him, when are these things going to happen? And he said, at the end of the age. At the end of the age.
It's important, Augusto, to point out to the listeners that you're not talking about astrology. You're talking about astronomy. The constellation Aquarius and the constellation Aquarius is the last constellation around the galactic center. It's a circle, and Aquarius is the last, and I believe Pisces is the first. So what you're talking about is the transition in space of our galaxy and the Earth itself. So for those listeners that think that Augusto's talking about astrology, no, that's not what we're talking about.
No, absolutely not.
It is a time period set in the heavens that God told us to look for, and that's what you are referring to. So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say was that word age, he uses it again in another parable, Jesus Christ. You remember he talks about the harvest at the end of the age. And he talked about the harvest, and they asked him, when is it? At the end of the age. He says that the Lord will send his angels, and they shall reap, they shall gather his wheat, and they shall gather the tares. First the tares, they will be bound up and thrown into the fire. And then they will gather the wheat, and they shall bring the wheat into his garner. And then he goes on to explain what the parable means. And, the reapers are the angels. And he talks about, again, the end of the age. So, the people can go and do their own reading and their own homework, but this is extremely important, because we are dealing here with the end of the age. This is the time prophesied by in the scriptures when all these things that are already happening, it was supposed to happen, and the Lord said, keep your eyes fixed on me, because things are about to get really topsy-turvy, and we're going to see things really ramp up, and after that is going to be my appearing. And so we're entering into that time right now. So all this theme of portals and gateways. Oh, and by the way, Daniel and Larry, the other thing I wanted to ask and mention, maybe Larry can share some on this, is there are gateways, I believe, in the spirit realm, but there are also gateways here on the earth, and both are going to be opened. I believe many of these gateways are in caves. The Bible talks about how some of those angels are chained or bound, okay, in the river Euphrates or by the river Euphrates. They're going to be loosed, okay? So those are here on the earth. Those are bound here on the earth. So those are going to be loose. Those angels are going to be loosed. Probably the portal there is going to be opened as well. And also in the heavenlies, okay, there's going to be an opening of the portals. And the bottomless pit, also under the earth, there's going to be another portal opened. So bear in mind that there are different portals and different places where these things is happening simultaneously.
And, you know, I think that this is all pertinent to the discussion that we're having. You just mentioned something, Augusto. You were talking about the New Age. Now, you know, this the 21st and onward is supposed to be, according to the New Agers, according to the Mayans are transitioning. Their belief was that they would transition to the 13th, I believe it is, age, right? That's an age of enlightenment, an age of light, right? And the New Agers believe that we are entering into an age of enlightenment, right, or an age of light. Now, this is important because does it not say that the devil, the enemy, masquerades as an angel of light? And you just mentioned that we're going through a photon cloud, which is photons are light.
That's right.
Isn't that interesting?
Well, you know, there's a lot of people out there that they don't believe that we are going through a photon belt at all. They think that that's a bunch of bunk. And but the, you know, if people don't want to believe me, fine. But they should do their own research, not believe something that they read somewhere in the internet just because a NASA scientist tries to debunk it or somebody tries to debunk it. Do your own debunking, okay? Do your own debunking and do your own research. But this thing, I mean, this has been documented. The photon belt has been documented. For example, do a research on the on Dr. Dmitry. He's a Russian scientist. He wrote a paper on this subject of the photon belt, and he's very, very, very respected, well-known scientist. And, you know, there is another one called, another scientist called Merav Ofer. He's a researcher at NASA. And he talks about this interstellar energy cloud. It's very unstable and agitated. So somebody doesn't want to believe that or says that's a bunch of bunk, that's not real. Okay, fine. Every man has a right to believe what they want to believe. But I'm telling you, this thing has been documented. And so, you know, just do your own research. Don't let nobody tell you or somebody tries to debunk it. Just do your own debunking. This interstellar photon cloud is actually real. This is around the center of the galaxy. Every time that the every time that our solar system passes through it, okay, every time we come this way, we pass through it. So this is very unstable, according to these scientists. It's got a lot of many photons in it. And according to this Russian scientist, he claims that the cloud energy photons causes an excitation in the atmosphere of planets, and especially our suns. And it begins to affect and the energy and interact with the sun. And so it is already very obvious and clear that this is already happening because solar activity has increased, which leads to a higher energy frequency, instability, and this leads to earthquake activity, volcanic activity. It seems every day now I read the news and there's a new volcano erupting. So this is not normal, okay? This is not normal. We are way past normal. And so the reason I keep harping on this is because people need to wake up. You know, the media wants to make people believe everything is normal. Don't worry about it. Everything is normal. Nothing happened. Non-event. Yada, yada, yada. People, wake up. Look at what's going on. Look at the earthquake charts. Look at the volcanic activity charts. Look at all this bizarre weather. What's causing this? Global warming? Please, give me a break.
I want to get back to the gates here in a second. But, Larry, you know, it's interesting what Augusto said about people waking up and not believing him about this cloud. You know, your job as watchmen, our job as watchmen, is to simply make people aware of what's going on. Augusto's absolutely right. It's up to the people to do their own homework and their own research. and to get on their face before the Lord and say, God, is this what's really going on? Am I not seeing it? Larry, what would you say to somebody that says, look, that's a bunch of hooey, I don't believe in any of that stuff. I think you guys are just trying to scare people. What would you say about that?
That'd be about the most stupid person I ever saw on the planet Earth, because all their evidence is stacked big as a piece of one slither of paper. I mean, how thin can you get? You know, it's almost like some of the – this is what's interesting, and I know this is a little going out there, but, you know, I'm one of those people that I just believe the scriptures. Look up, okay? I'm looking up, the end times, and I'm looking up like the Bible tells me to do. Well, I see strange things in the sky, you know, chemtrails, but, of course, anybody's got to be a fruitcake to think that. And, you know, so I began to say, well, okay, we'll skip the chemtrails, and I take a picture of, and I've talked to people about UFOs and different shapes, different sizes, different kinds, different places, you know, in all circumstances, and everybody says, well, we don't believe that. So I started, I'll take pictures. I started taking pictures of UFOs. And I presented the pictures. Well, they didn't believe the pictures either. That was a smudge, and that was a little reflection of light, and that was this, and that was that. And, you know, when you really, to answer your question, when you really come down to it, it's kind of like when I was in law enforcement. You know, I was taught on how to write an offense report. And in that offense report, you had a section called physical evidence. And in the physical evidence section, you carefully list all of the evidence you've either taken or photographed or observed with your observations of the eye and all of this data, and you record it very diligently on that offense report. Well, when that was in Texas. When I came to Oklahoma, I ran to a guy up here that was turning in his offense reports, and, you know, like burglaries or homicides, it didn't matter what, you know, he went out and worked. Every time I would see one of his reports under physical evidence, it said all of it.
Huh.
But you know, none of his cases ever seemed to be, there was no convictions. I mean, you know, he arrested a lot of people, but I guess all of that evidence didn't stack up very high. And so what we wind up seeing in the end result is that a lot of people, most of the evidence in their head. And that's when it's like the deniers, you know, the mockers, the scoffers that Augusta was talking about. It's even like in some of the chat rooms, you know, you got these people smarting off, you know. I mean, they're good at smarting off, especially anonymously, you know, on the Internet. And really being wise guys, so to speak. Gals, wise gals, too. And when you stack up their evidence against your evidence, they fall so far short. Somebody needs to turn their light off.
Well, you know,
how more delicately to put it.
That is a beautiful analogy, Larry. So let's look at some of the evidence as far as portals or gates go that Augusta was talking about. Is it my imagination, or did a group of Mayan shamans, Mayan priests, walk across the United States and stop at strategic places along the way with 13 crystal skulls, like the Indiana Jones stuff, right, and try to open up portals? Is that my imagination? Was I just hearing that in a movie or something, or did that really happen? Somebody help me here.
I heard quite a few people. Of course, one of them, you know, Quayle. You know, I can just name off a list of folks that Marzulli and different ones that were following these guys. Augusto followed them, too. I mean, you know, not only did they hold these, you know, I call them rituals. You know, I'm not real sure what they call them. But what they're literally doing, and Augusto and others know, is they are at work trying to unlock and open these portals. And, you know, I don't know, you know, how much you guys, of course, I know Augusto has for sure, but have been around Indians a lot. Now, you know, and even just say Native Americans, okay? I've got a wife that's Choctaw, and I've looked into my background, and they called it Black Dutch. And when I went on the Internet and began to turn over Black Dutch, I found out that maybe I wasn't what I thought I was being called. It was Cherokee Indian, you know. that's, you know, you find strange things when you get to digging. And as a matter of fact, a lot of my family didn't want me to dig, you know. But the interesting thing is you get around Native Americans, and, you know, I can see why, looking back now, that, you know, there was a really a Holocaust of the Native Americans. I mean, you know, I know a lot of people try to hide that, but it was real. A lot of them died. And I've talked to a lot of them that lived through the Trail of Tears and some of these other, you know, later on white people called things like, you know, death marches that the Japanese did, you know. You know, it's all the same thing. You get a certain group of people and you try to wipe them out. And one of the things you find if you get around Native Americans, I mean, if they're around you, like I would go to their birthday parties, okay, you know, with my wife, and they would accept me, which is really rare because, you know, that's kind of a special. Now, I know a lot of people don't think that's special, but the Choctaw Indians, it's a special thing for a birthday. And the ones that I went to, when they would pray, get this, most all of them prayed in Choctaw. Of course, a lot of them were the older Indians, you know. But and you'll find when you, and I know that Augusto went down and investigated some of the Native American Holocaust of its own. I can't remember the name of it, but down there in Florida, you know, he found out about a tribe or a group of people that had been slaughtered. Ooh. But what you find with Native Americans, you find they have, it seems, a freer access to the spirit realm than a lot of other people or other races do. You know, I can't explain it. I can't, you know, I just know it's there because even when I would joke and kid, you know, with Native, you know, different tribe members and such, there was a little bit of spiritual side to them that, let's say that I went and, you know, met with a bunch of white guys or, you know, really even black guys or whatever, you know, wherever you want to go. And, you know, I wouldn't see that spirituality focusing on their life. You know, it's almost like Native Americans that are real Native Americans just don't get rid of the Native American flavor, the spiritual side of it. It remains with them, even though it's hidden through most of them all their lives. It's hidden. But interestingly, I had a real good friend that was a witch doctor in the Belgian Congo. I met him on, well, with TBN years ago. And, you know, he was the same thing. Some of the tribes, and again, there you are, tribes. Those tribes that came out of Africa, a lot of those tribes had spiritual aspects that it was every day, absolutely every day in their life, whether you see it or you don't, you know, it was there. And so when you talk about portals and doors, which, you know, I almost ask anybody to go to anybody's house on this whole planet, okay, and look, and you'll find a doorway. Now, it may be different shapes and sizes and all kind of, you know, Red Elk has doorways in his super hut, but it's shaped different. It's more round than it is rectangular, but it still works. But when even the Eskimos appear to have doorways in their igloos, okay? Not necessarily windows, but doorways. So what I'm getting at to say this is the fact that a doorway, even biblically, is of extreme importance. And what Augusto brought up was really telling. One of the things I remembered was reading the book of Enoch and reading about Enoch and how that Enoch would go to a special cave. That's where he interceded. That's where he prayed. That's where he got before God and sought direction. And so here again, it's hard to focus. You know, when you got a whole bunch of people playing church and you go in there and start talking about a doorway, you know, you lose everybody because they don't know what, they don't focus on what you're talking about. Augusto, one of the things I thought of when you said when you leave your house, you shut your door and you lock it. Right. I thought of, well, spiritually, do people lock out the enemy every time they leave their house? No, absolutely no. Well, there's a lot of people don't even lock their doors, but they don't right. even, they don't, they're far from, you know, keeping the enemy out of their house, and that's why we have such chaos. But I don't know. In a roundabout way, what I'm saying is the fact that you know, it seems that the modern world thinks they have gotten so far away from the beginning of all of this, which we know, you know, began in Genesis, that they don't even anymore seem to want to tie in the spiritual side of it, which really, in all reality, is the most important of all.
That's right.
Well, you know, I shared, Larry, with you and with Augusto before, and I believe on the air, that, you know, the Lord had given me a word one time, and the word was for somebody specific, that he was leader at the church, and the word was that the barrier, the wall, or the dimensional divide was going to begin to be broken down, and that people in our world would begin to see things that they could not understand. And, you know, the word to this person was, it's your job to prepare the people for what they're about to see, because they won't know how to deal with it. And I think, you know, when we look at the portals that are beginning to open, or that have opened, and the things that we are beginning to see, and folks, you know, Sandy Hook and Aurora, you know, the cannibal in Miami and other places that we've seen, the violence in Detroit, and the economic problems, the famines that are being warned about, those things are nothing. That's just the very beginning of what we are about to see. Because I believe you're right, Larry and Augusto, because those portals are beginning to open, and when they open, when they really open, then all bets are off, because we are going to be seeing things that we have no clue. And, you know, my concern is, and, you know, Larry, it's a great thing what you said about talking about the ad to the average church person, because I think this is our job. This is why we need to talk tonight on the air, and this is, you know, what Augusto and I were talking about on the phone. That, you know, the church, the corporate church, what we call the church altogether, is asleep, and they don't have any clue about what is happening right now in front of them, and they don't have a reference for how to even frame it. They don't even know how to talk about it. They just say it's evil, it's guns, or it's drugs, or whatever the case may be. But it's so much more than that. And the reason why I brought up the Mayan priest is because, okay, so you don't believe, listener, that these things are happening. Well, here are things in the news that are happening that you can point to and say that's what's happening. Now, the last ceremony that these Mayan shamans had was directly in front of the Mayan temple down in Mexico. And, you know, when L.A. Marzulli was supposed to go down there, and he ended up not going, but he did put out some an alert. He had somebody on the ground talking about what was going on the 22nd of that day. Now, Larry, you were kind enough to send me that alert from his blog spot, but what exactly did that alert say about what was going on the ground on the 21st or 22nd?
Yeah, basically, L.A. had, you know, and I think he did the right thing. You know, Rush Dizdar and the different ones that were going to go with him also apparently were stopped from going. And really, I'll just say right up front that when Augusto and I had prayed about, you know, their trip and all, we didn't feel good about it. But, you know, I'm not one to tell people what to do. Unless God gives me a direct word, I pretty much keep my mouth shut on personal situations with people. But I didn't feel good about it, but that's not my business, and I didn't tell him to go or not go. But I was relieved, and I sent Augusto, I think I forwarded information to you, that they chose not to go. They said that an intervention had occurred, and they were not to go. And they caught a lot of flack for that. I mean, they really caught a lot of heat, you know, because they trumped it up pretty big. They was going, and when they didn't go, boy, I mean, they got hammered in the head pretty hard, but I think they did the right thing. I really absolutely do.
Well, you know, I was talking to Richard Grund before, like mm-hmm. last month, actually the first part of November, actually the latter part of October, and he started mentioning to me about the trip and he was invited to go, and you know, and Richard and I, you know, we've gotten to be good friends, and I told him, I said, Richard, did the Lord tell you to go? Are you sure about that? And you know, and he didn't give me a straight answer, but I told him, I said, let me tell you something, and I shared with him briefly, you know, what I knew about the place, and because I had been there back in 1998, 99, I was there a couple times in the Yucatan Peninsula. Now, the Yucatan Peninsula, for those people that don't know anything about it, is one of the most bound places in the American continent. I was there first of all, I landed in Cancun back in the first time I was there in 98, and I had an experience that night. And usually when I land in a place for the first time, the Lord shows me the principality that is ruling that area. And I had an encounter with a giant snake. And I have never experienced anything like it since, before or since. And this was a gigantic snake, huge. It was swallowing everything in its path. I mean, it was swallowing buildings, people. It was swallowing all kinds of churches. And I could actually see all these things going down through their belly of the beast, of this gigantic snake. And at any rate, I had a very, very unpleasant experience that I'm not going to share in this program. But at any rate, when that was finished and done, I talked to my friend who is from Finland, and I love him dearly. He and I have done some work together in Mexico and in other parts. And I told him about it, what had happened to me in Cancun. And he said to me, do you know what the word Cancun means? And I said, no, in Mayan. He said, the word Cancun in the Mayan language means the head of the snake. Mm-hmm. That's what the word can means. It's snake. Mm-hmm. And the kun means head. And then there are different names throughout the Yucatan Peninsula that have the name Can, C-A-N. I was in another town called Campeche a few years later, and again, that is related to the snake. I was near another place called Quetzalcoatl, which is also called the place where the snake hides. And that place, I was also in Merida. Around that same time, and the pyramid of Chichen Itza is not very far from Merida, and I have never felt such an oppressive spirit as I felt when I was there. I visited the ruins of Chichen Itza back then, and you know, we did some warfare and some things, you know, and so forth. And even as I was on the plane on the way down to that city of Merida, I was attacked in my jaw. I was attacked in my jaw, my head. I had to rebuke it in the name of Jesus. There's a very powerful demonic presence there. We were going to do a meeting. You know, we did several meetings in different places. We were going to rent a place called the Stadium of Kukulkan, which is it's the Mayan name for the serpent. The Aztec name is, is Quetzalcoatl. And anyway, we were there, and I could tell you, you know, I ministered in some churches. There were Mayans. It's one of the hardest people to win to the Lord. And so I was sharing some of these things with Richard. I told Richard, you need to be very careful, because this place where you guys are going is the head of the snake. This is it. Where do you think that the Mayan elders came from when they came here to the States? They came from Merida, the 13 Mayan elders with the 13 crystal skulls. That's where they came from. And then when they made the pilgrimage from New York City, remember they started doing their rituals all across Serpent Mound in Ohio and all across the States, all the way to the West Coast in Los Angeles. When they got there, that team of 13 Mayan elders came back to Merida, and then another team of 13 Mayan elders left over there. I don't know what that ritual was all about. to conduct the final ceremony with the 13 crystal skulls. So that is where they had gone from Mérida. And that those same Mayan elders were going to be there during the 21st of December. So nothing good was about to transpire there. So anyway, I did talk to Richard, and, you know, and I told him, I said, I'll be praying for you. I was trying to, you know, to see if I could get him hooked up with somebody down there, but I had lost all my contacts. But anyways, I'm also glad that they didn't go, because I really felt bad about that. But another thing I shared with Larry was this recent rumors that have been, that people are hearing about the children with the black eyes, or the black-eyed uh-huh. children.
Uh-huh.
I read an article, I think I sent it to you, Larry, I think I did, where the several people had some experiences with these children.
Mm-hmm.
And they encountered these kids, and they are the most demonic presence, and their eyes are all black. And sometimes they stand outside your door, and they knock on the door, okay, and they want you to let them in. And if you let them in, then you know you're opening the door, basically. See, these entities cannot, they are not allowed to force their way into you or into your home unless they have a license. If you give them a license, if you open a door, a spiritual doorway, then they can. That is the same rule that applies to demons. If you open a doorway through sin, through willful sin, through being at the wrong place at the wrong time, that also gives them a license, okay? Like, a demon has a hard time coming into a house. If you pray every day, you plead the blood of the Lamb on your property and your house and so forth, he is not going to have an easy time getting to you. But if you go to his stomping grounds, I mean, that's it. You are his. He owns you, okay? He owns you. And because you have basically opened the doorway, you're going to a place where that is his stomping grounds. Now, unless the Lord specifically asks someone to do that, then that's fine. That's you obey God. But I'm just telling you what doorways do. Doorways, whenever a person commits a sin, is at the wrong place with the wrong people or the wrong time or whatever, those events can open doorways. And those doorways can lead to these things, black-eyed kids, demonic entities, principalities and powers, having access to individuals, to your homes, to your businesses, to your house. And these black-eyed kids are real. I know a person, I'm not going to mention her name, but she wrote me an email about an experience she had, and she saw these entities, also she couldn't look at their eyes. She recognized that they were unearthly, and this entity seems to be appearing everywhere. So what I'm trying to tell the people is we are entering into this darkness that I was shown in 2010. We are beginning to enter into it. It's going to get much darker. I wish I could sit here tonight and tell the people everything's going to be fine, no need to worry. You know, don't worry about it, just be happy, you know, just everything's going to be fine. I wish I could tell you that. I really wish I could. I really do. Sometimes
well,
I wish I were wrong.
I think you'd be a mega church pastor if you were doing that, though, I guess.
Probably. Which I have no desire whatsoever. No desire.
Gusto, I got a letter the other day from Red Elk. You're familiar with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I had asked him, of course, he's been in poor health lately. Of course, he's older. He's like us, I guess. But he said he was familiar with the black-eyed children, and he said they're hybrids or what they are.
Wow. That's
and remind me to, a little later after we get to talking about, I want to share something I found out from Russia about snakes. You'll find it real interesting.
I'd like to hear it.
You know, I wanted to get back to Chichen Itza. Larry, can you relate? First of all, I believe that the reason for the listeners, you guys know this, but for the listeners' sake, the reason why that trip was canceled was that in the spirit that L.A. Marzulli and a couple other guys led that there was a kidnapping plan that had been unfolded in the spiritual realm. They saw this happening. It was confirmed by two or three of them. They each independently felt that that was it, and the Lord said, no, don't go. So that's why they canceled it. But on the blog that LA sent about, I think it was on the 21st, it might have been on the 22nd, about the activity that was going on the ground. Can you share that with the listeners for those that hadn't read that yet?
Oh, yeah, that some other people went down there to, I guess, to intercede and pray, you know, back in the crowds. In other words, not to really speak or be up front of the activities like L.A. was supposed to do, but literally, you know, just background folks, I guess. And they put in a call to L.A. and advised him, this was either late the night of the 21st or in the morning of the 22nd. I can't remember exactly what the timing was, but they said that the air was so full and thick, and that's their words, with demons or demonic spirits that you couldn't, you know, you just couldn't hardly breathe. I mean, it was just thick. And really, I had I shared it with Augusto. I'll share it now. I had a real quick vision after the 21st. And this was from it was actually the night of the 21st going into the morning of the 22nd. And it was a quick vision, and I saw a gateway or portal, whatever you want to call it. I can't say it was a Chichen Itza, but, you know, it could have been. I don't really know the location, but a gate was open. And through that came, you know, I just have to describe it. It's one of the weirdest things. Some of this stuff's hard to describe. But it looked like it was about as thick as a piece of notebook paper. In other words, it was what came through was real thin, but it was facing me, so it looked big. In other words, if you hold up a sheet of notebook paper or typing paper in front of you, you know, you've got the width and the length, all that you're looking at. That's one thing. But if you turn it on its side, it's almost invisible because it's so thin. So it came through facing what I was looking at. And embedded, let's see, the best way to describe this is, you remember the Star Wars, you remember those, Dan, the Star Wars movies?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, I thought that'd be about your age group.
I'm not that young, buddy. I'm 50, so I mean,
okay.
I'm not a pup.
Anyway, you remember the guy that was flying the Millennium Falcon? I can't remember his name in the movie. But
Han Solo.
Okay.
That was Han Solo.
Anyway, you remember how he got captured and I don't know what you would call it, but it was kind of like he got quick frozen in granite or maybe bronze. Remember that?
Right. Yeah, I do remember that.
You know how he looked really weird. It his image was embedded in this big chunk of something. Okay, hard surface,
yeah.
Something bronze or whatever. And that's what this looked like. Whatever had came through in this vision, it was of course, we'll go back to Augusto's black. It was very dark. What came through was very dark and black in color. And embedded all through that was these demonic spirits. But this is what's interesting, guys. Even though it came, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah.
Okay. Even though whatever this darkness was that came through, these things were embedded in it, somewhat like Han Solo was in that film. They were not yet loosed. In other words, they came through in darkness, embedded in the darkness, but yet still, I guess you would say, captured in that and not released yet. So, and this is really weird, and Augusto, comment on that if you want to, because I've never seen one come through still bound and not yet released.
Well, you know, as you were talking, Larry, I felt led to look up the meaning of the word Chichen Itza. and literally means at the mouth of the well of the Itza.
Huh.
It derives from chi, which means a mouth or the edge, and chien means well. So Itza is the name of the ethnic lineage group of, the, according to this, you know, the, what they're saying here, it's supposed to be, Itza is an enchanter, also means enchanter of the water from its sorcerer. And so anyways, very interesting that this name has something to do with the well of Itza. You know, isn't there a legend that the Mahdi is supposed to come from a well?
Yes, that is exactly right. He's supposed to come from a well. That is very interesting.
So at any rate, you know, this is a very ancient civilization, very ancient. This is, you know, the pyramids. There's something going on with the pyramids now. Going back to your portals, Daniel, I don't know if you read the articles, but there is something going on with the pyramids and portals. And I was reading some of that today about energy beams, whirlpools, tornadoes, all these things which are being emitted from pyramids all over the earth. What is triggering this energy? What is triggering this energy? And what is causing many of these pyramids to be brought back to life? And they are emitting this strange energies. There are photos of for example, this pyramid called the Aztec Moon Pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
It shows a release of energy at the top of the pyramid, and it shows different other pyramids releasing energy. And the Pyramid of Kukulkan, it talks about, and it shows a photo, how it released an incredible amount of energy, an energy column. So what is causing these things in the pyramids? Are the pyramids, what are the pyramids? I think there's a lot to be yet discovered about pyramids. I believe pyramids are not what people think they are. I believe they are portals. They are gateways. They are, if you will, devices in there, powerful energy devices that are activated by certain events transpiring in the cosmos. Remember that the three pyramids of Giza, how they line up with the star of Orion, Orion's belt.
Orion's belt. That's right.
Yeah. So all these things, the pyramids, I believe, are intricately linked. Okay, with what is going on right now. They're beginning to emit beams of energy. Now, this thing has been going on now for a few months, this strange energy that is being emitted by some of the most famous pyramids. And I believe that these portals are being activated, if you will, by something, whatever it may be. I don't know. Whether it be a craft that is approaching Earth, or whether it be by the crossing of the galactic plane. Maybe that is what the Mayan were fixated on. I don't know. But something is intricately related between the pyramids, the December 21st, 2012, and what is happening right now.
You know, the thought, Augusta, you just said some stuff that hit home with me. You were talking at the beginning of this conversation about us going through the galactic center and the photon cloud, the energy cloud that's there. And I've heard you talk about other strange things that people are feeling, and I wanted to get into that in just a few minutes. But you were talking about that energy, and what in the course of my writing, I've done a lot of research into ancient monuments, and what you will find is that those monuments are placed on something called the ley lines of the earth. These are natural energy lines that run through the earth. Now, from a science perspective, if you look at the universe, there are two different trains of thought when it comes to how the earth is the substance of what the earth is. And there is this thought that we live in an electromagnetic universe, and that those magnetics from the sun, because the sun is magnetic, our poles are magnetic, all the other planets have magnetic poles to some degree. There's this natural magnetic energy that flows through the earth. This is not crazy stuff. This is science. Well, and these ley lines where these ancient monuments sit on conduct magnetic energy. And the thing that just struck me as you were talking is, you know, you were talking about the fact that we go through the galactic center. Now, I'm just spitballing here, guys, so you got to bear with me because I'm trying to talk this out as I'm thinking about this. As we go through the galactic center, there's an increase in this energy. No one can deny that. It's a scientific fact. These ancient monuments are placed on these ley lines which conduct this energy. And you just said that these ancient monuments are coming back to life. Could it be that those ancients that built the pyramids, and I don't think they were the Egyptians, by the way, but the ancients that built the pyramids, the ancients that built, Chichen Itza and all the rest of the ancient monuments, could they have known something that we don't even in our modern age? And is that why they built them on those ley lines? Because they had anticipated this happening every 26,000 years, where there would be this change magnetically or energy-wise in the earth. And could it be that this is the light that they're, we know it's not, but they're talking about this is the light, the enlightenment of the ancient ones, are coming back to them. What do you guys think about that?
Go ahead, Larry.
Well, that's pretty interesting. I was just recently digging into some data that, I know you guys know of Klaus Dohna, a researcher out of Vienna, and that's one of the things that, he was interested in South America, especially Augusto, was in Ecuador, actually, where he found the pyramid that had in that ancient Hebrew writing on the bottom of it, the son of the creator comes. I mean, wow, and you got to use a certain color light to even bring that out. But, and he dug up giant bones and all other kind of things. But all through Central and South America is some of the same data, and it's just like, that's where you run into the Nazca lines and all of this other stuff. But this circulates really around the whole world because a friend of his, Moldashev, in Russia, and I was recently able to dig into some of his real information from his Himalayan expedition, and it ties in with exactly what you guys are talking about. I mean, every bit of it and the timing. And I'd have to ask you, Augusto, when you talk about why is all this stuff beginning to activate, is it because of that alarm clock that says, do you know what time it is?
Exactly. Well, you hit it on the head. As you were talking about that, Larry, I remember that. I saw that documentary by Klaus Dohna. That was my favorite part in the whole documentary. I do believe that the many of these ancient pyramids and buildings were built and are being activated by the arrival of some unknown force that surrounds the galactic center, the galactic void. It's a part of our solar system. They knew, the Mayans knew. A lot of people keep talking about the Mayan calendar and debunking it, that there's nothing to it. It's just ended and it's beginning again, blah, blah, blah. I think they're dead wrong. I think that this Mayan calendar was signaling, was a demarcation in a specific place in time when this event was going to be happening. We were going to be crossing the galactic center. Now, I don't know what this will entail, because like I've said so many times before, we have never gone through here before, so we don't know. Human civilization has never existed long enough to be able to go through this before. It takes 11,000 years, 26,000 years, you know, for the sine wave to come by our solar system to, you know, to complete a cycle. So we've never been able to see what happens before. So we have no paradigm. We have no model. We have no nothing to go by that will tell us. But definitely something, there's some force that is hitting this some device in there. These pyramids are, nobody really understands how they were made, even to this day. Some say that, some have postulated that the pyramids were gigantic, energy plants to produce energy. And that's how Tesla arrived at his, you know, as at his inventions, basically an imitation of the pyramid. That's what I have read too, you know, in some of my research. Whether that is true or not, we'll never know because Tesla is not here to tell us. But how he arrived at his inventions. But there are some that believe that, you know, that possibly the pyramids were ancient power plants that provided, you know, energy for the, let's say, the whole city of Egypt. One pyramid could power the whole city of Egypt, amongst many other things. There were observatories. There were also, doorways and so forth and so on. So now these pyramids are beginning to light up. Could they be telling us, you know, the time is at hand?
Well, one of the things that's so interesting, too, Augusto, is the fact that from, you know, some sources seem to indicate that, and I get this from some of the gleanings of Klaus Dohna and others that have really dug up unexplainable things. In other words, one of Klaus's favorite sayings is, searching for answers, finding more questions. I mean, he goes day by day doing that.
I tell you.
Yeah, you know, because every time he digs up, you know, it's just like, you know, they've dug up spark plugs, ancient spark plugs. They, you know, they've dug up springs that we can't make. Most everything they're digging up, technologically wise, we can't produce today. We can't even make a pyramid like those are made. And then there are those that believe that the pyramids are absolutely pre-flood. I mean, you know, we're talking back in Noah's day, you know, before the flood. And to me, that would make a whole lot more sense than Egyptians using poles and rocks. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right.
But it's
absolutely
all over the whole world. You know, we're finding this kind of stuff that's you know, being dug up. And of course, at the same time, you've got places like the Smithsonian and others that just do all they can do to hide every giant bone that's dug. But I was going to share something with you, very interesting. I finally got some data from that Professor Ernst Moldashev out of Russia that actually did an expedition. He's actually one of the ones, too, I think you've seen him, Augusto, is took photographs of giant's feet print, you know, in Syria.
Right.
You know, and from the feet prints, they're unbelievable. And they actually look like the footprints were preserved in some type of cement. You know how we would do today, you know, you're making a, you've got cement and people stick their toes and fingers and hands in it or right in it, and then it dries and it just lasts quite some time. But one of the interesting things is the fact that Moldashev took his own expedition to the Himalayas up in Tibet and talked to the what they call the wise people or the spiritual people there that he found out were actually tending. And I'm not asking anybody to believe what I'm saying right now, but I'm going to tell a story. This is out of Moldashev's own words. And you know, he went and he couldn't photograph anything because of the energy fields. But, you know, Klaus shared with us how that he had literally gone in, was taken in under the ground through caves. Here was our caves, Augusto, and taken in to where the entities underground, giants, big, exist. And this is what's strange. In Moldashev's own words, when I was reading it, and that's why I put this disclaimer telling people listening to me, because this is on radio, to don't believe it if you don't want to. I don't really care. I mean, it don't make any difference to me if you believe it, you know. But for those that do want to understand that this was Moldeshev conducted a scientific expedition, and his journal or book or his data, most of the, all of that is actually in Russian. But I got my hands on some of it that wasn't, and he detailed it. He actually went into each location, interrogating almost a lot of the so-called wise people that had the knowledge of what is hid and what's put away and nobody's supposed to know about. And he carried it out like, you know how for years I was in law enforcement and I would go to crime scenes. You know, when I was just a street cop, you know, I'd go preserve them for the guys that's supposed to be smart, call detectives, and they would come work the crime scenes. Well, then I became a detective, and I began to come work crime scenes. And so I know how that you put crime scenes together. In other words, when you get there, it may be all tore all to pieces. And, you know, it's like somebody kills people and burns the house down around them. Well, you just got to go through everything and find the evidence. That's how Moldeshev worked his journals. But this is what's interesting. The one occasion that he was allowed to actually enter, which they nobody hardly that's alive on the planet really gets to go under there and see what is inside those caves, because they've been told that, and Moldeshev was told this, that the beings that are kept, you know, you remember I used the, or, you know, the Klaus used the term suspended animation, you know? Anyway, Moldeshev says that the term, the Tibetan term that they use is samadhi, which means, and this is really weird, you know, when you this is odd too, because the description they gave of these beings that are down there, it's kind of like they stiffen up real hard and hibernate, and the description they gave Augusto was, they say like a snake. You know, when it gets real cold, a snake will go in its den, and it gets real stiff. In other words, if you dug the snake out of the ground or out of its den when it's real cold, they're stiff and hard, and you can't hardly move them, you know? And that's one of the things that they said was so interesting, is the fact that the beings that are under there, they called it not dead. They said they're not dead, but yet they're not alive either. And some people in Klaus used suspended animation, which is interesting, but apparently the ones that Moldeshev had that confided in him that actually go in underground, and they say that these deep caves are all over the planet, and under the certain locations, and, you know, it's kind of interesting. We've already talked about so-called sacred sites. Remember those words. Because years ago when I began to check out all the sacred sites, most of them were either under the strict control of a local government, state government, the federal government, or the military of different countries. In other words, not hardly any of them were just a local place you could go just hang out. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And deep in these caves, known only to certain individuals, well, actually, Moldeshev described one of them. He said when he got in there that, and I won't go through the experience he went through, but, you know, a lot of people that went in those caves, you know, die right there. You know, it's kind of odd. And, you know, whether it's a stroke or a brain hemorrhage or whatever occurs, they just die. They simply die. But there are stories, too, you know, about God's ark, and how someone that shouldn't be touching it actually touches it and they die, fall dead on the spot. But interestingly, Moldeshev said that the creatures that he saw in this animation, the suspended animation or samadhi or whatever you want to call it, are enormous. In other words, we're not talking about people like, you know, me, 5'11". You know, mm-hmm. He said he used the term enormous, and they're in this... Interestingly, the suspended animation or whatever they're in, apparently they're actually an OBE. In other words, it's out-of-body experience. In other words, their spirit is not there. It's just their body. And the body is tended by people that they, and this has gone on for years and years, that are led into these places that tend and check on things to make sure they're okay. But interestingly, you know, we said something about, do you know what time it is, Augusto?
Mm.
And one of the things was, even all of these things are beginning to come out. And, you know, deep underground, we're beginning to get data and information. And this is what's interesting is the fact that even the oldest people that have gone in, and they can actually talk to these, I guess you'd call them entities, because sometimes they'll have a conversation with them. And originally they were told, when they wanted to know, when they were initiated to come in to take care of these bodies, so to speak, or check on them, was, who are you? And they originally began to say, we're the Lemurians. And then they kind of said, well, we're really the Atlanteans, you know, from Atlantis,
mm-hmm.
and we're preserved mm-hmm. here. But guess what? Later on, that some of them kept after them on who really are you? Guess what the answer was? The real answer that came out, Augusto.
What was that?
They said, we are the sons of God.
Well, there it is, right there.
That's
how clear can that be? And this
direct
is through a Russian.
Genesis 6.
This is through a Russian that did not, he didn't do it biblically. He went on a scientific expedition and found out that these people that are in this suspended animation are, and they're locked in. Remember that me talking about an energy field that you cannot really get to them?
Right.
There's your energy, Augusto. But they told the wise people that were there, they finally said, we are the sons of God. But apparently they're in jail, so to speak, if you know
yeah,
what I mean.
Yeah, those are the fallen angels. Now,
there you go.
I'm going to read something that's going to tie. Huh?
Go ahead. I said they're here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to read something from the Book of Enoch that is going to tie in very, very nicely with what you were just talking about, Larry. In the Book of Enoch, let's see, chapter 9. I'm going to go there to verse 12, okay? Now, this is after the fallen angels, the watchers, you know, they did their thing, and they taught the daughters of, you know, the men and the daughters of men how to do all the enchantments and all that stuff, okay? So I'm past that. But this is now when the Lord said to Michael, okay, go bind Semjaza and his associates who have united themselves with women so as to have defiled themselves with them in all their uncleanness. Now, for the people that don't know what I'm talking about, because you've never read the Book of Enoch or have never heard about it, the Book of Enoch is mentioned in the Bible. Okay? It's mentioned in the Bible, in the Book of Jude, and also the Epistle of Peter. He mentions the Book of Enoch. The Book of Jude mentions it, as a matter of fact, verbatim. There's a whole sentence verbatim from the Book of Enoch. So Jude had access to the Book of Enoch. Now, this part here, okay, has to do with Semjaza. Now, Semjaza was one of the watchers, was one of the fallen angels that did all these things that was forbidden. He mingled with the daughters of men. He came to the daughters of men, and they taught mankind all kinds of, you know, all things that were forbidden, forbidden knowledge, forbidden wisdom, forbidden science, okay? So he's a fallen angel, or an angel that fell, an angel that rebelled. So basically the Lord told Michael, go bind, now notice that word there, bind Semjaza and his associates who have united themselves with women so as to have defiled themselves with them in all their uncleanness. And when their sons slain one another, because, you know, the Nephilim started killing one another and so forth, and they have seen the destruction of their beloved ones. In other words, when these watchers, the fallen angels, saw that their sons, okay, were being destroyed, he says, bind them. After that takes place, bind them fast. There you go, Larry. For 70 generations in the valleys of the earth till the day of their judgment and of their consummation, till the judgment that is forever and ever is consummated. In those days they shall be led off to the abyss of fire and to the torment and the prison in which they shall be confined forever. And whosoever shall be condemned and destroyed will from thenceforth be bound together with them to the end of all generations. Okay? So I'm going to stop there. Basically, I wanted to underline what it says there, that the Lord told Michael to bind them. So they're bound. And they were going to be bound fast for 70 generations in the valleys of the earth, okay, in the caves, in the, those places where they are. So I believe that those 70 generations are up, is what I was, you know, wanted to get at. Those 70 generations are up, and now they're about to be loosed from their bondage that they had been bound by the Lord Almighty and Michael the Archangel. Now, this is what's being done through CERN. It's being done through many of these HARP technologies and many of these things. They are attempting to break the bonds, okay, that with which these sons of God, okay, the fallen angelic beings, were bound with. So they're bound, Larry was sharing, that they're bound in suspended animation by some force that we just don't understand what it is. But
you know,
they're bound.
Augusto,
they cannot move.
I'm sitting here listening to you, and Larry for that matter, and I swear I'm talking to myself. Because what you just said was the exact same thing that I, and this is how I know that the Holy Spirit is involved in this conversation. Because I think, see, this is the thing with people. When people that really don't look into these things, they hear us or they hear about things like this, they blow it off, they brush it aside, say, no, those guys are crazy. But what people don't understand is that Larry was talking about physical evidence on a crime scene. What people don't understand is that there is physical evidence about what you just said and what is going on right now. And we spent, you know, the better part of an hour talking about the gates or the portals that are opening, and we need to get to Michael and what's going on in that area right now. But I want to touch briefly on what you just said about CERN. Okay, so you don't believe us that these portals exist and this kind of thing is going on. Well, I'm just going to go back a little bit. The mascot for CERN is the Hindu god Shiva. Shiva, and you got to understand that CERN, that project is run by, you know, thousands of scientists, big brain people. They're smart. It's not like they're you know, you and I, and, you know, uneducated, you know, unknowledgeable people. These people are really, really smart. Well, Shiva is the destroyer of worlds, and it's their mascot. Now, on from December 17th to December, now get this, from December 17th through December 21st, the 21st being the culmination, they ran their highest, most powerful collisions to date ever seen on the planet Earth. Now, that technology, first of all, it makes no sense why they would do it through that time, but to culminate on the 21st, I believe that technology is being used for a man-made portal. It's being used for a man-made gateway to do something. Now, that leads us to exactly what you were talking about, Larry, about, and Augusto, about these angels being bound. I'm going to go back, and just one of the things that the Lord showed me when I first wrote 3 Days in the Belly of the Beast, that, you know, we talk about the spiritual realm as Christians, and we spiritualize things, but God showed me some very practical, some very scientific things that has to do with the heavenlies, between the earth and the heavenlies, and that is that we are a three-dimensional people. We live in height, we live in depth, and we live in width. That's where you get this phrase 3D. Einstein said that time was the fourth dimension. It's not a spatial dimension. It's a temporal dimension. But we live actually in a 4D universe. You and me and everybody else that's listening to this program. But in the Bible, and now, okay, in M theory, it says M theory says that there are at least 11 dimensions. So we're talking physics here, folks. M theory says that there is at least 11 dimensions. Now, in the Bible, if you look at hell, there's not just one hell. There is Hades, or hell. The Bible says that that has keys. That's one dimension. There is Tartarus, or Taurus. I forget exactly how to say it. That's two. There's the abyss, right, which these angels are bound in, according to the Bible. That place has keys as well. And then there's the lake of fire, which is eternal judgment, and they'll be thrown in. So that's four. So you have four plus four for the 4D world that we live in, plus four dimensions of hell, that's eight. So then when you look at heaven, you know, Paul said, he was referring to himself, he said, I once knew a man that was caught up in the third heaven. And I've done some studies on heaven. There's not just one place of heaven. So if there's a third heaven, there must be a second and a first heaven as well. So 8 plus 3 is, guess what? It's 11, right? So physics or science proves out the very fact that we are looking at interdimensional things, but we look at it, you know, as Christians, as, you know, the spiritual realm and the heavenlies, and we can't really put a finger. There's probably more than that, but that's just what the Lord showed me. Now, when we talk about those things that were bound, and Larry, that's a beautiful illustration. Thank you for sharing that. When you talk about those things that were bound and the things that are getting ready to be unbound and where we are in time right now, I think it would be helpful with the last 35 minutes of the conversation if we move to where we are now. So, Augusto, why is it? Now, we've given evidence that whether you believe it or not, you got to do your own research. But we've given evidence that, to use Larry's term, that the portals are opening, that things are happening on the earth. Larry could tell you all kinds of crazy stuff that he's seen coming out of the portals.
Yeah, let me interrupt you just a second, Daniel, because I wanted to throw something in here that I know you're going to another direction. I just wanted to add to Augusto, where I lost out on it, is the fact that Moldashev said one of the things that he was shown and literally, that every one of these sites, every single one of them is protected with not only snakes that are in natural form, but at each of those locations also is a giant snake, Augusto, that he called a mystical serpent or a supernatural serpent that guards these places.
My. That's interesting.
Great. You know,
yeah,
what
so go
was
on
that?
Now. I wanted to give that to Augusto.
No, it's important. That's an important thing. Tell me, when, and I posted it on my website for a while, when did you saw a snake, you took a picture of a snake coming out of that portal, did you not?
Well, it's what it looked like, a snake. It looked like a little bit like the Lamed in a way. It was looked like it was uncoiling, and it was like a silver snake. Yeah, that's what we finally decided is what it looked like.
And when did you, do you remember when you took that picture?
Oh, a few months ago. I don't remember it right in front of me. I don't have the data, but it hasn't been all that long.
Yeah, I would think it was probably 3 or 4 months ago. The point is, folks, that the portals were opening, they are open now, and that things are coming out of them. That's the point. So, Augusto, for the benefit of our listeners, and this is really important that we get to this portion of yours and mine conversation from earlier in the month, what is it that we can expect with regard between Michael, because you mentioned Michael, and it's funny that you mentioned Michael when you did, because I just had Revelation 12:7 up on my computer screen looking at it. I was looking at the Greek. So, in order, and we don't have a lot of time, so you can't do a big study on this, but how about you go over a little bit of your study that you did on your site that talked about Revelation 12:7 and the things that we can expect, and how that, let me back up. If you go over the study that you did over Revelation 12:7 and the verses following that, and the connection between that and what we are seeing with portals on the earth today. I think if you could take us in that direction, that would be good.
Well, like I was sharing with you, Daniel, you know, there are two schools of thought and, you know, belief and that topic. Of course, one is that, you know, the Revelation 12 has already taken place. And it all happened during the crucifixion of Yeshua, you know, the birth of Yeshua, the crucifixion, and so forth, and after that. And and so that is one school of thought. The other school of thought is that this scripture represents something that is still in the future, which is when Satan is totally cast out of heaven. Michael and his angels, you know, overcome Satan and his angels, the dragon, and he's cast down to earth, at which point he, you know, is in control for his final 3.5 years when he will establish his kingdom here on the earth, and everybody will get a final chance to decide who they want to serve. And I really believe that this has not happened yet. There may have been some things happened, but the reason I believe it hasn't happened yet is because the enemy still has access to the throne room of God. And even in the book of Revelation, it, you know, the Lord refers to him as the accuser of the brethren. The angel refers to the devil as the accuser of the brethren. And, and you know, and so we see, and then in the book of Ephesians,
It says that he accuses continually. He couldn't accuse continually if he wasn't there.
Continually. In the book of Ephesians, in the Apostle Paul talks about he's the prince and the power of the air. You know, so we obviously see a satanic kingdom here in place in the heavenlies, in the spiritual realm. So if that already had happened already, why would Paul write that? You know, the Ephesians 6, you know, he talks about principalities and powers and all these things. This entity. So there is a hierarchy in place in the heavenlies, and these entities exist. They are there. So obviously something still has not been taken care of as far as these entities. They still have not been cast down to the earth completely. And so there is a time in the very near future when this will happen. I believe this speaks to the increased activity in UFO activity all over the earth. There have been people have seen dogfights, if you will, UFO dogfights in the heavens. I saw a dogfight in the heavenlies back in the year 2006 when I didn't even believe in those kinds of things at all. And I saw it. I saw two white lights go after a yellow, reddish light. I mean, they were just dancing in the heavens. And the two white lights went after the reddish, yellowish light, and they just disappeared in the heavens. If that was not a dogfight, then I don't know what was. And I believe these things are real. People can go into the Bible, read the book of Ezekiel, the wheel within the wheel, the chariots, the angel. There are angels of the Lord that use chariots. Use actual devices. Now, I don't ask me to explain it. I cannot. But there are, for some reason, there are angelic beings that use chariots. Look at Elijah was taken up in a chariot of fire. Okay? And so these things exist. Now, there are chariots of fire in the heavenly realm for the kingdom of God, and also there must be the same thing for the kingdom of darkness. Why these entities need those devices, I don't know. I don't know. I don't have all the answers. All I know is that they do exist. They, for some reason, have these devices. So there is going to be a fight in the heavens. I believe it's waxing hot. And when it's all done, Michael and his angels will prevail over Satan and his angels, and he will be cast down here to earth. This is going to be when he is going to go on a rampage in a very short time, just like the scripture says, because he knows his time is short. And this is the time when he will implement his kingdom here, his new world order that we have heard so much about, his new world order, his new Atlantis, where the new utopia, you know, where he is going to institute his kingdom. It's going to be a kingdom made of clay and made of iron, okay, partly human, partly angelic, and it is going to be totally ungodly. It's going to be hell on earth, literally, because Satan is going to be on the earth. Now, I believe this is on the threshold of taking place, and I shared some things with you, Daniel, and I don't think we have the time to get into it, that it ties in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 with, you know, with Revelation chapter 12, and then, of course, all the other scriptures, Matthew and Luke and so forth. But this is the thing that we are right now about to experience, the manifestation of the sons of God, both the fallen angels and the good angels, okay? Both the, like the Apostle Paul talks about in the book of Romans, chapter 8. I believe that this is going to have to do also with the a tremendous divine impartation from the Almighty to his choice servants, that he is going to, if you will, impart, that there's going to be an impartation, a divine impartation, if you will, a quickening of the mortal to immortal, if you will, maybe a supernatural endowment, a supernatural endowment from the Most High in order to equip his people for what is about to happen on the planet. I believe this is going to be imminent. I believe this is got something to do with the photonic belt that is taking place, that we are beginning to feel the effects of. By the way, I wanted to share something that I did not get a chance to share that ties into that, and that is that they have done studies on archaeological studies, and they have found on the earth, okay, in the rock layers, that approximately about 13,000, according, you know, to the archaeologists, 13,880 years ago, they did tests that determined that there was a solar maximum cycle, and that the Earth had experienced intense radiation that lasted approximately like 95 years, from 13,880 to 13,785 BCE. And according to many ancient legends, the Earth goes through quiet times between the lethal blasts from the galactic center. These are referred to as the quiet times. But every time the galactic center, we go through the galactic center like we just did, the Earth begins to be bombarded by lethal gamma rays, making life on Earth almost unbearable. And this is when the Earth goes through its cleansing cycles. And so this is very important, because the photonic, the photons that are bombarding the Earth are made of light. This light is beginning to impact everything on this planet. Now, I'm gonna share this, and then I'm gonna turn it over to you guys, but I go back to an experience I had recently where I was inquiring of the Lord, okay, when all these things were going to take place, when the manifestation of the sons of God was going to happen. And what he told me was this: in the middle of the night, he spoke to me and said, at 12 midnight, the inner glory will be released. At 12 midnight. Now, 12 midnight is the darkest time of the night. At 12 midnight, our inner glory is going to be released. So, as I was sharing in our last program we did together, I think it was with you, Larry, nothing's going to happen until the darkness arrives. The people of Israel did not leave Egypt until the last plague, the plague of darkness came. Remember, and that's when they ate the lamb roasted. The Lord told them not to leave the house. he told them to mark the house with the blood of the lamb, the doorposts and the dintel,
mm-hmm.
and that the destroyer was going to pass by, and they were not going to be harmed. After the darkness is when they departed, when they the Exodus took place after the darkness. So I'm going to say it again. The Exodus of God's people is not going to take place until after the darkness, just like in the book of Exodus. That was the time when they left Egypt finally from the grip of Pharaoh, and they were able to go over into the promised land. And I believe this is going to be a repeat. This is going to be the second Exodus. The second Exodus, this time is not going to be from Egypt. This time is going to be from the realm of this planet Earth into the kingdom of our Heavenly Father.
That's pretty interesting, Augusto, because doesn't it say that I read somewhere that said the second Exodus would be so great that people wouldn't even remember the prior one.
Yeah, praise God.
Well,
I believe it.
You know, guys, we have about 17 minutes left, and I think we're getting to the heart of the matter here. This was why we needed to talk about these things on the air, because many people that are listening, many believers are fearful, and they're worried, and we have the whole, and this is not a theological discussion per se, although it certainly sounds like it, but I don't want to get into pre-wrath, mid-wrath, or pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, pre-wrath, whatever the case may be. The point is that I believe, as you believe, that we are going to have to walk through some things. We are going to see some things. You know, I was just looking, and I'm gonna read this. It's out of Luke 10:17. It's when Jesus sent out the 70. It said, "The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.'" And he said to him, "I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, you've been given authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you." Now, my question to the audience is, when did Satan fall like lightning from heaven? Well, that hasn't happened yet, because it says in Thessalonians, that 2 Thessalonians 2 that you alluded to, Augusto, was that there is a war that goes on in heaven, and the restrainer is pulled away. In other words, Michael, who I believe the restrainer is, that's my thoughts, is victorious, and the enemy is kicked out of heaven, which he comes here. So the darkness that is falling, the portals that are opening, and the darkness is falling in order to accommodate him. And in the middle of that darkness, in the middle of the darkest part of the night, God, in his grace and his mercy, pours his spirit out on the saints, the remnant, the real church. Not the Sunday go-to-meeting Christian that shows up once in a blue moon for a service. Those people that are on their face before the Lord, those people that are seeking him, those people that are in his word, those people that are hungry for him. Folks, I hate to tell you, but if you're not one of those people, then the dark is going to be so dark, you're going to be fearful. And fear is an enemy's tool. It's what he uses. So in order to be able to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, the power that we are promised in the word, by the way, that power is not for us to hold. That power is not for us to keep to ourselves. That power is so that we can do battle and be successful against the enemy in a very dark time. That's when we need it. That's when God gives us those weapons. So folks, the things that we are talking about right now, the things that we have talked about over the last almost 2 hours, are those things on the earth which are happening. The guys have said it. Do your own research. You may think we're crazy, but I challenge you to do your own research. Look for yourself at where we are, and you will find that we are at the very last of the hour. Time is at an end. Time is almost over. So, Augusto, with that said, what can people do right now? We have 13 minutes left. What can people do right now in these next days? We always talk about preppers, right? There's a different kind of prepper. What can people do to prepare themselves for those things that are coming upon the earth in that very dark time?
The number one preparation that people should be doing right now is spiritual preparation. If you have not prepared physically by now, you may be too late. I don't know. You may still have a little bit of time. But the number one preparation right now should be spiritual. As you were talking, Daniel, I was thinking back to another experience I had some years ago. I called it in my website. You know, all my visions and dreams are posted there. It's called The Glory Cloud. I titled it The Glory Cloud. And I was standing on a big platform, and I was looking, you know, at a multitude of people, which I believe is symbolic of the people I minister to. We minister to a lot of people on the radio all over the world. They're listening to this program right now. And I was ministering to a lot of the people, and I was telling them many of these things that I shared tonight, that, you know, to get ready, to get prepared, to seek the Lord, to build a relationship with Jesus Christ, to build an altar, you know, get in their closet and build a closet relationship with the Lord, where you would spend time with him every day and, and walk with him. And I was trying to tell the people this, and on the platform with me were some other men, just like you men are with me tonight, you know, trying to warn the people, Larry and you, Daniel, and many others. And we were all trying to warn the people. But there was a big black African-American person or man right next to me. He was huge. He was, I don't know how tall he was. He was huge. He was like my bodyguard. I don't know if he was an angel. He may have been an angel. But he was just standing there. I mean, like a tremendous authority emanating from him. And as I was saying these things, I noticed that the people were not listening to me. And this angel was looking at them, and then he looked at me, and I saw the sadness in his face. I saw the sadness in his face that the people were not listening. They were not paying attention. Mm-hmm. Because the people were worried about little things, you know, little minutia, little day-to-day things. They didn't have time to really concentrate. You know, they were worried about how to pay the bills, about their kids, and how to do this and how to do that, and they were not paying attention to spiritual things. Then, as I was, you know, doing this, I noticed that the tall black guy that was next to me, he looks to my left, and all of a sudden, he's on the floor. He's prostrate on the floor. So I looked to where he was, you know, in the direction he looked at, and I see this bright cloud in the distance. It was so bright, it was approaching fast. And I knew what it was. I knew what the cloud was. It was the glory of the Lord. So I turned back to the people and I begin to tell them, listen, get ready. Lift your arms up, begin to praise Jesus, begin to pray, begin to cleanse your lives. Get ready, the glory cloud is coming. And they still wouldn't listen. They were obsessed with day-to-day stuff, just like I know most people that are listening to this message are obsessed with day-to-day stuff. And finally, this tall black guy gets up from the floor, and then he looks again to my left, and I look again to my left, and the glory cloud was much bigger now. It was getting very close now. And I could see inside the glory cloud were the armies of the Most High. The armies of the Most High were inside the glory cloud. They were approaching planet Earth. It was like a big portal that was opening, okay? And I turned back to the people, and I would just continue to tell them, please, get ready, lift your hands, begin to worship the Lord. Stop it. Stop worrying about your stuff. Stop worrying about yourself. Stop worrying about the little things and begin to pay attention to the important things, the spiritual things. The Lord, the glory cloud of the Lord is coming. It's approaching fast. They still wouldn't listen. And this black guy, the angel, I believe it was, he lets out in a booming voice. And he just tells, you know, he shook, the whole place shook. And he says, listen to the man of God. And I woke up. And I'm telling the people, listen, please, to what we're telling you. We're not playing games. This is not another radio show to pass another couple of hours. I know Larry's got more important things to do. I know I do. I know Daniel does. But we do this because we want to help you people, because we really care for you. We really care for your soul. We care for your eternity. And this thing is real, okay? Maybe you look outside today. Maybe nothing really big is going on. It's business as usual, okay? I'm telling you, it's not business as usual. There are things happening in the spirit realm that are beginning to take a toll on everyone on planet Earth. Demons are invading planet Earth. Darkness is invading planet Earth. And if you are not full of the Spirit, if you're not full of His light, you will not make it. And this glory cloud that is coming, you are not going to be a part of that thing. Okay? Whatever the glory cloud is, whether it is going to take us to heaven or take us to another place or empower us or change us or whatever it is, I don't know. I have not been given all the answers. I only see in part. I only know in part. But what I know is this. It's approaching fast, and when it comes, it's going to be too late. You're not going to have time to do anything then, okay? Either you're ready or you're not. And when it comes, it's going to change us. It's going to transform us. There's going to be the manifestation of the sons of God. We're going to be transformed. We're going to be energized, if you will, like in the old Star Trek movies. Energize. Beam me up, Scotty. You know, that kind of stuff. It's going to happen. And this photon cloud that is bombarding the Earth, it's real. Read. Do research. It's happening. Dr. Dimitriev, Dr. Olev, all these other men, all these scientists, they'll tell you these things are real. They're happening. Now, don't we see the results around us? Look at the earthquakes. Look at the volcanoes. Look at the anomalies in the weather in Europe, here, everywhere. If you don't realize that something is off, then you're really asleep. You're really dumb. Because even the people out there that don't know nothing about God, they realize something is off. Look at what the mayor of New York said. Look what he said. He said, this is not normal. When the Hurricane Sandy went by, he said, whoever says this is normal is crazy. This is abnormal. And this guy is not a Christian that I know of. And he knows what's going on. He can tell that something is off. I'm telling you, I implore with you, make your life right with Jesus. If you have not surrendered tonight, right there where you are, kneel down and just say, forgive me, cleanse me of all my sins. Just wash me. And then say, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Because I'm going to need the dunamis. I'm going to need the power. I'm going to need that divine power for the empowerment, for the impartation, for the transformation. That's going to be the rocket fuel that is going to lift me off. That is going to cause me to walk above the darkness that is coming. That is going to give me the power to overcome the darkness that is upon us. It's going to give me the darkness to overcome the demons that are about to be loosed on this planet. At whatever point the Lord decides, okay, to come and rescue His people, it's not for us to know. And that is His realm. Like Daniel was saying, I'm not going to argue here. Pre-trip, mid-trip, post-trip. I'm not going to pre-rap. I'm not going to get into that. I'm telling you, just be ready. Just be ready, because whatever happens, if you're not spiritually ready, you will not be able to make it. Okay? You will not be able to fight these demons that are coming. You will not be able to resist the powers of darkness that are coming to assail you. You will not be strong enough. That's what the Spirit told me. The people will not be strong enough. They will be overwhelmed by the darkness. They will not be able to stand. And so this is the hour when you need to have oil in your lamp, when you need to have your wigs trimmed, when you need to make your call in an election sure, when you need to have your dress all feel free of wrinkles, when you need to be free of sin and walking in the Spirit and walking in authority and walking in confidence, not in fear, not in doubt, in unbelief. So that is what I say to you people tonight. Don't wait another day. Make it sure tonight. In the name of Yeshua, Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Jesus, man, that's right. We have about 3 minutes, 2.5 minutes left, guys. You know, I would be remiss if I was in contact today with Romy Zarat. Larry, I know you know her, and I guess so I'm just assuming you know her. She's a powerful woman of God, an intercessor, and like her, like you, I should say, she's seen activity in the heavens that there's a war raging in the heavens, and it's because that glory cloud is coming. And one of the things I asked her, I said, Romy, if you could tell the people anything tonight, what would you tell them? And she said, love each other. Don't let barriers come between believers. So it doesn't matter if you don't believe what we said. You pray about it. You get on your face. You ask God about it. But love each other, because this is a time when we're walking into that. The Word says that the love for each other, as far as believers go, grows cold. Larry, you got about a minute and a half, buddy. Is there something you want to add to the final closing here?
Oh, just appreciative of the program tonight, and really, it is a ministry. One of the things I know that Augusto's run into a lot, and a lot that I've bumped into a lot, has been so many people out there want you to carry their cross for them. And I very clearly remember Jesus saying, pick up your cross. In other words, you pick up your own cross and follow me. Now, if they can't do that, I have no answers for them. I'm out of answers. I have zero answers. But the people of God have finally, I believe, some of them reached the point where they understand, nobody else can do for you what you have to do for yourself in the spirit realm. And if you haven't learned it, if you haven't been taught it, you know, we're running out of time, as Augusto said. You know, we're literally running out. You know, I was caught up in the, I guess you would say, the urgency of the call. Listen to Augusto and the glory cloud, and I believe every word of it that he said. And it's just the fact that, you know, as he also said, the cares of this life, basically we're supposed to lay them down and follow Jesus, or, you know, you can call him Yeshua. You know, he's got different names in different languages, but you know who we're talking about. You know, and it's the urgency of the hour, and I'm just telling people to shake themselves out of their stupors and get busy. Get busy with their relationship with him. That's all you're going to find in the end anyway, is what relationship did you have?
That's right.
That's a good word. Guys, thank you so much for the time. Dorothy, thank you so much for having us. I've been blessed by this time, and I hope that we've blessed other people as well. But I so much appreciate you guys. And I just want to say thanks and good night all.
Hey, well, thank you, Daniel, and I appreciate it, too, doing the show together and with you, Larry, and Dorothy. I appreciate all the work you put in. May God bless you all, and may God grant you everything you want and desire for 2013.
Amen.
Thanks,
well, thank
guys. I just say shalom in all its many facets, which is peace and multifaceted peace. So I just speak a blessing on you guys tonight, and thank you for, you know, we all joined together and we had a word, and I believe we're a little further ahead now.
Amen. Be blessed.
Thanks, Dorothy.
You're quite welcome, and you're welcome anytime. I know you all wait till Father leaves to do a show, so hopefully it'll be again soon. This was such an edifying message. I'd like to thank you. And I'd like to thank everybody for coming. And stay deep. Let's hit our knees and get spiritually prepared for what's coming, because I have even noticed the demonic attacks increasing on the body of Christ. A lot of my Christian friends are under severe attack. So pray for each other, love each other, and good night, everybody. Father bless.
Good night. Thanks.
God bless and shalom.
Shalom. Bye-bye.
Shalom. Bye-bye.